This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. We often talk about the university's programs promoting innovation, invention, and creativity. Today, we'll be talking about a specific space on campus where that is happening that's getting a lot of attention of late. University of Nevada, Reno Provost Kevin Carman joins me in the studio. Welcome, Kevin.
Hello, David.
And you brought a guest today, Todd Colgrove, head librarian of the De La Mare Library on campus. Todd, welcome to KUNR.
Thank you.
Kevin, let's turn to you first to introduce our topic and your guest.
Well, I wanted to have the opportunity to share a bit about what is really a special resource that we have on campus that a lot of people may not be aware of. It's received local and national recognition recently in the news. But it's a place where students can be innovative, creative, bring their ideas to fruition in very tangible ways. And this De La Mare Library that Todd oversees has a variety of instrumentation and just a general atmosphere that encourages this creativity among our students and among members of the community. So I'm anxious to have Todd tell us about what's going on there.
Todd, as Kevin just said, this is definitely a topic of interest, the De La Mare Library here on campus. It's been receiving honors locally and nationally for essentially being an innovation and creativity laboratory, or a makerspace, as it's referred to today. But before we get to that, let's find out a little bit more about you. Share some of your background as the leader of this facility.
Well, my background is I'm actually an experimental physicist, and I got my master's and PhD and then went into private industry for the better part of 15 years. Thought I was retiring, ran into an old friend who used the phrase, time to start using your powers for good instead of evil. And the first thing you know, I'm back here at the university and actively engaged trying to create the 21st century of what this looks like.
Well, we're going to hear more about what the work you do in the space on campus here and some events coming up as well. Kevin, what do you see as maybe the most interesting aspect of this from your perspective at the university, how this highlights things in the community and some of the work being done that Todd's in charge of here?
Well, if you listen to President Johnson talk about the University of Nevada, Reno and what makes this a special place, you'll hear him speak often about experiential learning, about our students to actually get their ability to get their hands on things and do things and make things and have experiences that are directly relevant to their scholarship. And De La Mare is really just an excellent example of this type of opportunity that our students have. It's also an opportunity, and I think Todd may talk about this, an opportunity to bring folks from the community onto campus and give them an opportunity to interact with students and maybe make connections that who knows where they're going to lead. So this makerspace is a place where ideas bubble up and come into some sort of form. And, of course, not every idea turns into something wonderful, but occasionally it does. And so it's an opportunity for those exciting things to happen and a format and a place where they can happen.
Now, for eons, we've been inventing and creating and innovating in one fashion or another, but this idea of a makerspace is somewhat at least new to me and maybe right to our listeners. It's kind of self-explanatory, but Todd, what happens in a makerspace?
It is a new term, and it's kind of a little bit simplistic sounding, but the long and short of it is it's a space where DIY folks can tend to collaborate, they can gather to create and invent and learn, and the words that you are mentioning, the innovations and the learning that can happen there. It's a very organic space.
Exactly. And you say DIY, do it yourself, for people who just really want to get their hands onto some inventing or a creating.
Absolutely. And the word makerspace has sort of been applied to our space after the fact, but it's kind of as Provost Carman was mentioning, that's how we learn in the sciences and engineering and the arts. We actually have to get our hands a little bit dirty and start making things real.
But in today's technology, what's available there that students can and even the community can get their hands on?
Well, the building that's the size of about just shy of 23,000 square feet, the most heavily used technology, although it won't seem technological or high tech, is the over 20,000 square feet of whiteboard writable surfaces. It's important to be able to get things out of our head and start brainstorming around it with other people. Technologies that'll go from there would range from oh gosh, again, though, the whiteboard walls to laser cutters and 3D printers, 3D scanners, microprocessors and tools that are needed to be able to rapidly prototype and iterate through solutions or examples or pieces of equipment that are being developed.
De La Mare is a great example of the type of environment that we're trying to promote across campus, but if you go to the engineering lab, to the At One in the basement of the Knowledge Center, many other sites across campus, you will find these types of environments and different types of technology that really allow students to explore and bring to life, if you will, the ideas and the concepts that they have. De La Mere, I view as sort of a focal point of this type of resource and activity, but it is just integral to what we do as a university.
Yeah, the campus is full of spaces where people are innovating and creating, and it's the De La Mere Library that has earned recognition from the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, that's EDON, also highlighted in a national magazine. Talk about some of the acclaim and some of the buzz that's happening around the De La Mere Library.
Well, you know, as a librarian and as a scientist, attention is something that's not natural for me. I'm pretty fundamentally introverted, but I think it makes perfect sense. It's what we're providing is a lot of critical path details there, and in this space where you get where you pull together a bunch of bright individuals and creative individuals from across different disciplines, and then start bouncing them off one another. Pretty soon, ideas and innovation starts happening naturally. So it very quickly, just over the course of the 5 years that we've been doing this in De La Mere, has transformed from a very quiet but beautiful space into a very vibrant hub where you're literally tripping over ideas walking from one room to the next. So it's a thrill.
You're listening to Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. I'm David Stipik, visiting with University of Nevada, Reno Provost Kevin Carman, along with Todd Colgrove, head librarian of the De La Mere Library. We're visiting about that facility as a makerspace for creativity and innovation that's capturing a lot of attention.
Todd, you've mentioned that you come from a sort of a non-traditional background. You're a physicist, and now you are a librarian. So most people probably wouldn't think of what we've just described in De La Mere as a library. So tell us how this fits in with the modern concept of a library.
The modern concept of the library, I think I'd have to go back to, you know, over 2,500 years ago to when librarianship was first perfected, the great library at Alexandria, really, where if you're familiar with the painting by Raphael, the school at Athens, if you look at that painting, you'll see famous names, everything from Hero of Alexander to Euclid, Hero who invented the steam engine, and Euclid who invented geometry, Aristarchus who measured the solar system before we could. All they had in common was the great library at Alexandria, because it was this experiment on the part of Pharaoh Ptolemy, who presumed that if you brought together all of the technology of the age, which was in that point, at that point in time, scrolls, into this honeypot, it would attract the best and brightest. And once they get there, they would start talking with one another, and businesses and inventions and creations would come out of it. And it absolutely panned out. For over four centuries, the economy of Alexandria absolutely eclipsed the economy of Athens, the economy of Rome. It was unfortunately burned, but it's an experiment that works. And I would argue that libraries have, for thousands of years, this is why we fund libraries, because it's the unwritten assumption that by enabling members of the community to get together and learn from one another and from the resources and the technologies that we provide, that it ultimately benefits the community. In this case, it benefits the community of the university, the community of Reno, the community of the western part of the state of Nevada. And we actually came onto the radar of the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada when their vice president of entrepreneurship was hearing. He actually showed up in the library one day and was saying, "What's going on here? Because I'm seeing more innovation and more new startups and more creativity coming out of this library than any other single area across the western part of the region." And I, of course, I thought I was in trouble, but you know, that's just the way that it happens when you get these bright folks together, and we fuel that. I mean, what we're providing are critical path details that'll enable that active learning, and as a side benefit, they can innovate and they can rapidly prototype and create these things that they're only thinking of.
And that's the award, the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada's Most Innovative Space Award.
Most Innovative Space, exactly.
Well, congratulations on that. I also know that you've been noted in the national magazine.
Make Magazine, who actually originally coined the term makerspace back several years ago. And so that is a profound honor. We're named one of the most interesting makerspaces in America, along with entities like the Center for Engineering Innovation and Design at Yale, which is an example. So it's a feather in the university's cap, and we're proud to have played a part in that.
Todd, you've been invited to go to Washington, D.C. Here in the near future and engage with a broader discussion about makerspaces and what we're doing in Reno and what's going on nationally. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. President Obama had declared a National Week of Making coming up, and the kickoff event to that is going to be a two-day event where we're speaking directly to members of Congress and their staff and introducing them to these concepts of explaining the connections between this making that happens in a maker space and science and technology and engineering and math learning, as well as economic development and creation of new jobs. So it's sort of a command performance that we're going there. But I've been honored to be actively part of the conversation along with the IMLS and other leaders nationally to be actually building these bridges. I mean, again, to us that we're doing this, when we operate in terms of teaching and learning, we all know that what we've got to do is get the kids engaged and excited enough that they can actually go start putting their hands on it and making it real. And so it seems like a no-brainer to say that if you just enable this, that learning and innovation will come out of it. I think sometimes we need to be quite clear about the things that we assume are no-brainers and pass that along.
And you mentioned IMLS. For our listeners, that's
the Institute of Museum and Library Services. It's the federal funding agency for the nation's museums and libraries.
All right. So you're in some good company there.
Absolutely. Profoundly honored.
And that's coming up June 11th, a couple of weeks from now, a couple of days there in Washington, D.C. And that's very exciting. But there's also something happening tomorrow in downtown Reno, an event May 30th, Saturday. Tell us about that.
It's the second Reno Mini Maker Faire. A maker fair, if anyone has attended it, is something that was started by Make Magazine originally, and it just wrapped in the Bay Area, where you bring together all of these makers, whether they're engineers, artists, anyone that's really interested in what they're doing and they want to share that in a very public way with the community, gather together and they share what it is that they geek, that they really enjoy. Reno, this is the second ever Reno Mini Maker Fair, where we convene and pull together those members of the community here. So not just engineers and scientists and artists from the university itself, but the greater community to pull them all together in this celebration of this endeavor that's called making.
And this will all take place down by Sinclair Street in Reno, where the university's new Innovation Center will soon be opening up.
That's a facility that we're really excited about opening in the near future. It's not quite, we're doing some renovations. It's not going to be quite complete when we have this Mini Maker event, but it is going to be located at, not in, the Innovation, that's N-E-V, Innovation Center, a facility with which we're partnering with Switch, who's coming to town. It's a really exciting new facility. So it's going to be an opportunity for people to get familiar with where that place is, and it is going to be a place of innovation. We see that really as an extension of this maker concept that Todd has been talking about.
And that's on Sinclair.
Sinclair, just across the street from the Discovery Museum,
right.
Yes.
And to clarify, it's actually we're profoundly honored to be working with the Innovation Center and the Discovery Museum itself. So a landmark that can get people there is the Discovery Museum downtown.
This is the University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik, discussing innovation and invention at the university's D. LeMaire Library with Todd Colgrove, head librarian of the library, along with Provost Kevin Carman.
Earlier on, Todd, you were talking about, in D. LeMaire in particular, that we get a lot of students from engineering and the technology and the sciences, but when you were talking about the Mini Maker, you mentioned that artists are part of this mix as well, and I know we often talk about STEM disciplines, but I know President Johnson likes to use the STEAM terms, where mm-hmm. we include art and scholarly pursuits that transcend the science and math. And so I just wonder if you could comment on the usage of D. LeMaire on campus. Do you get artists and people outside of the traditional STEM disciplines coming in to use that facility?
Absolutely, and thank you for bringing that up. It is tempting to focus on just STEM disciplines, and the more we stay within our individual silos, the more we're doing things that we've always done in the past. We're not getting inspired in new creativity. Part of what makes this D. LeMaire or this makerspace work is this explicit abrasion between the different disciplines, where you get a scientist rubbing elbows with an engineer And then an artist might be walking by and looking at it, and all three of them are recognizing that they're thinking about the same thing, but from a different angle. And it's that recognition where we can all of a sudden start seeing things in a way that we've never seen before. So you're absolutely right. It's key to what's going on in Delamere. We regularly see artists coming down, and they seem to, it's a natural mix. In fact, just the other day, I saw someone, a student that was working at the laser cutter, and he was laser cutting out parts to build a drone out of plywood, a drone quadricopter. And there was a student behind him who was working on the desk doing some artwork. And the next time I passed through the room, they had joined together and were laser cutting artwork onto vinyl albums. And it's something that, you know, probably somebody ought to do something about it. But it was this, you know, again, this spontaneous collaboration that happens between the disciplines that sometimes produces artwork on a vinyl record, and that sometimes produces a brand new idea or an innovation, and that's exciting.
Very nice.
And you mentioned something that's very important I don't necessarily think about right off the bat, is it's not that you go in your space and you're using this by yourself to create whatever you came in with, but it's the actual bringing people together from all different disciplines and interests.
Yes.
Even sometimes by happenstance a little bit, just by being in the same space, yes, that maker space takes on a new meaning that way as well.
Well, and I would go so far as to say that the library on the academic campus is pretty much one of the only spaces where that spontaneous mixing between disciplines can happen. It's a little bit like Switzerland that way. I mean, folks from every discipline know that the library is their space and that they're comfortable walking in there, as opposed to in individual departmental spaces where it can sometimes be less spontaneous, the mixing.
Briefly before we wrap up here, we're hearing about this more and more now, but how long has the Delamere Library been functioning on campus?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the library that is Delamere Library can trace its roots to the very first graduating class on this campus, where there were actually three graduates in the late 1880s, I believe. At that point in time, it wasn't called the Delamere Library, it was called the Mines Library. But over the course of the many, many years that have happened since, the library itself has been retrofit and expanded, and the sciences, the physical sciences library as well as the engineering library were merged in with the Mines Library when it became the Delamere Library in 1997.
Well, there's a lot of great things happening. Our community, I think, would like to actually get a little bit more awareness of this. And this is something that is somewhat open to the community. What's your message to people who might actually like to schedule some time in there? What do you do?
Well, my message would be, you know, these kids here at university, a lot of them want to be you when they grow up. They have no idea what that looks like. If you have a need for resources, come on campus and we'll be delighted to work with you. And sometimes we'll connect you up with kids and take the time to just stop and open a conversation, because again, that's the work that we're all engaged in.
And we'll have a link to all of this contact information and more about the library on our website at KUNR.org. Kevin, final thoughts from you as we wrap up.
This is a wonderful opportunity, I think, for all of us to learn and expand our concept of what a library is. It can be a collection of scrolls or journal articles, or it can be laser printers and whiteboards and 3D printers. What it is a place that provides the resources and a format and a place where people can come together and explore their ideas and see them come to fruition. And it's just really exciting that UNR is really on the leading edge of this new way of thinking about, not so new, but a new manifestation of how the role of libraries in not only in education, but in innovation.
That's it for today's University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. We've been discussing the innovation and creativity being generated as part of the makerspace known as the Delamere Library here on campus. Joining me in the studio today has been Todd Colgrove, head of the library at the facility. Todd, thanks for being here today, and congratulations on all the great work that's going on there.
Heavens, thank you. We're honored.
And University Provost Kevin Carman. Kevin, always great to have you here. Thanks for the conversation today.
As always, thank you for the opportunity, David.
And thanks for listening to KUNR.